Open your Bibles to the passage Monty just read. We've been in this, studying this for 3 weeks, and this one portion. But we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, if you're visiting with us. And I've titled this series, Man's Church or God's Church, because of all the issues that were going on there in that little church. And we get to this part here in 3, 1 through 4. And it kind of concludes what we've been speaking about on God's wisdom. But he's going to take this and he's going to tie it completely back to the very beginning where he started. And he talks about a problem in that church. And it has to deal with, according to my translation, New King James says carnality. The translation Monty read from was fleshly. And it speaks to the subject at hand. So let's pray and we'll take a look at the scriptures. Father, we come before you in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace in our life. And, Lord, we pray for this time together that you would direct us in our study, that you would direct me, Lord, in teaching. Keep me from error and help me to explain your truth clearly and accurately for all your people. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As you look at this the text before you, he says, and I, brethren. He's continuing a thought process. Even though our Bibles, even though your Bible has a chapter break right there, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's where the chapter needs to go. You understand? Chapter breaks and verse assignments are not inspired. The letter was written as one flowing letter. And then the translators come in there and they break it down into chapters, break it down into verses. Well, the first ones that ever did that, everyone's pretty much kept the same tradition. And the reason being is, if you had a different translation of the Bible I have, I wanted to reference you a verse, you got to be able to go to the same verse, okay? So you'll see a lot of times chapters begin in places where they probably shouldn't. They probably ought to break this chapter beginning in verse 5. But nevertheless, we'll read it just like it's a part of the previous, because it is. He says, and I, brethren. It's very important to understand that word brethren. He's speaking to believers in that body is who he's speaking to. This is not being addressed to lost people. This is being addressed to Christians. A lot of people translate this passage that he's dealing with people in the church that really weren't saved. That's not the case. He's dealing with people that are saved, but they're just not acting like it, is the idea. And you'll see it as we go through and discover it. Well, what's the problem? When he says, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as the carnals, the babes in Christ, you get a clue down in verse 3. For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Now, that ought to ring a bell if you've been following us since we began this, and go back to chapter 1. And when you look back at chapter 1, look at verse 10. This is the early report that he got. He says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it's been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Contentions, if you will, are quarrels, okay? Fights. They got a report there. And then you see in more detail what it was over. He says, now I say this, that each of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. And so he begins to deal with that issue, but then he transitions over into talking about the wisdom of God. And in talking about the wisdom of God, he comes right back and addresses this subject that he began with here on chapter 3, verse 3, if you look at it. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men because of envy, strife, and division? And he's come back to that because he's saying, you have the wisdom of God, you have the wisdom which comes from God, and you're behaving like mere men, and you could be resolving these issues in your church. And the reason you're not resolving them is because you're not operating off the spiritual, you're operating off the fleshly. That's what he's saying. And so his argument is really picking up from verse 10 where he talks about where he got the first report, chapter 1, verse 10, where he got the first report, and he talks to them about how they should be living, but they aren't living. Factions in the church not only mess things up in the church, it defiles everyone in the church. Because even people that are not involved in the quarrel will end up getting drawn into it by taking one side or the other. And that's why they're pointless. They're useless in a church. They're of no value. They don't do anything. But let's look at what Paul says to this church. He says that I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. Now, the word carnal there is the word sarkiko, and the word sarkiko means to be worldly or fleshly. The translation that Monty had was an excellent translation. To be fleshly means to act like a person that doesn't even know the Lord. It means to act in a purely human way. It kind of goes back to what I told you earlier when we were looking at this book of 1 Corinthians, and that is this. You will make decisions in life based upon either what you believe subjectively or what you believe objectively. Subjective thought is not based in fact. It's based on emotions or feelings, okay? Objective thought is built upon an object outside of oneself. And in this case, or in our case, it's the Bible. So a person that operates off of subjective thought is a person that operates off their feelings or emotions, and they, say, had a long night last night or a bad day yesterday, and they get up this morning, and you know how they deal with people? They deal with, well, I don't feel good today. I don't feel like talking to you. I don't feel like relating to you. Or I'm upset about something in my life. Well, big deal, because as a Christian, you're to operate off of objective thought. You're to operate from this standpoint. I am a born-again believer. I belong to the Lord, and I have a responsibility to carry out my relationship and witness of the Lord in all that I do. And the only way I can do that is build my life on the Word of God. Yeah, I'm tired this morning. I don't feel good. I had a bad day yesterday. But it's not about how I feel. It's about whether my life is going to bring glory to God. That's what objective thinking does versus subjective. The person that's carnal, they don't care. Carnal persons will do that. And then when you mention something to it, they say, well, I just speak my mind. That's the kind of person I am. And I'm sure you've dealt with people like that. As if that excuses unchristlike behavior. Trust me, it doesn't. It doesn't excuse it at all. So Paul says, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And what he means on this passage when he says that is this. Not that you are not a spiritual person. He's already settled that in a previous chapter, that they'd come to faith in Christ. When he talks spiritual in this sense here, he's talking about their practical living out of their life, the way they live their life. Are you living as what you are? Because, see, when they came to faith in Christ, they are spiritual. They're born again. And we've talked about this many times. There's your position and your relationship with God, which is eternal, and then there's your condition or activity here on earth, which changes day to day. The spiritual he's talking about is your life here on earth matching up with what your position in heaven is? He said, I could not talk to you as a spiritual person, as a person that's living a life equal to your position in heaven. I had to talk to you as a person that was like you never even knew anything about heaven. He said, I had to talk to you, look at the passage, as to babes in Christ. Meaning just like a new convert is how I had to talk to you. Now, there are two basic words used in the scripture in this case. There's the word meaning children, and there's word meaning baby. And both of them are related to Christians. A child is the word technon. That's not the word used here. We're called to be children of light. We're called to be, we are the children of God, things such as that. That's the word that's used there. In this case, he uses the word, which denotes an infant baby, is what it denotes. It denotes a newborn, one that is still on the bottle, okay? An infant. It doesn't know their right hand from their left hand. He says, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to a babe in Christ. So what he's saying is, I had to speak to you just like someone that was a brand new convert. I had to talk to you in spiritual terms just like you were just come to faith in Christ, that you had no growth at all, zero growth at all. And so he says, it's evident because of what I had to teach you. Look at verse 2. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Now, let's just stop right there. What's the difference between milk and solid food? Milk and solid food come from the same source, because what did Paul teach? Let's go back to chapter 1 again. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 17, and we'll see what Paul taught. Chapter 1, verse 17 says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of wisdom, or not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So Paul spoke the gospel. Now, go back to chapter 3. Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. So if Paul spoke the gospel, what's the difference in the gospel between milk and solid food? Let's look at the gospel first. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ died for your sin, was buried, and raised again. Amen? Everyone clear on that? And so when Paul preached it, he said, that's what I came to preach, is the cross of Christ. Well, the cross of Christ begins with Christ died, bearing my sins, was buried and raised again. You believe on that person of Christ, you will be saved. But every major doctrine of the faith comes from the cross of Christ. Everything that we teach in the New Testament is a direct result of the cross of Christ. And you can teach it by either going back to the gospel and keeping it real basic, or you can take it further and say, this is how it applies to your life. Christ rose from the grave. What does that mean to me? Well, it means that because Christ was raised from the dead, you now, when you believe on Jesus Christ, have died to your sin, and you're raised to a new spiritual life. And being raised to a new spiritual life, you live apart from the power of sin in your life. And you begin teaching the doctrine of sanctification. Or you can sit there and say, Christ bore your sins on a cross and paid your debt. And then you can move right over here when you get into the solid food aspect in, and you say, Christ bore your sins. He took your sins into his body and became a substitute for you. And becoming a substitute for you, he bore your sin fully. And in bearing your sin fully, he died for your sin fully. Therefore, your sin, though having never been committed yet, because you were born 2,000 years later, has been born on the person of Christ, and your sin is forgiven, and his perfect righteousness is imputed to your behalf. See, that's more solid food than just that he died for my sin. And that's what he's talking about. It's all coming from the same way. But he says, when I talked to you, I had to talk with you with milk and not solid food. He said, because you're not able to receive it, and you're still not able. What's the problem there? I can get up here and teach solid food all day, but unless you take it and apply it to your life, you receive it, you won't understand it. That's the key, or that's the difference between milk and solid food. A person grows in the Christian life not by hearing the Word of God, but by practicing the Word of God. That's where the key is. A person can be a member of a church for 50 years and be a babe in Christ because they don't apply the Word of God to their life. They don't advance beyond being a baby. They don't. They don't move anywhere. And they're in church every Sunday. They're hearing preaching every Sunday, but they don't grow. They don't advance. They don't move forward because they don't apply. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Hebrews. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5. And look with me, if you would, at I don't remember what I did to first service. Verse 11. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Now, the writer here to the book of Hebrews has been talking about the Melchizedekian priesthood, which is solid food. That is a very detailed subject. And he gets down here in verse 11, and it's common in the book of Hebrews, there are five warning passages in the book of Hebrews. There are five passages that warn those believers about not walking with the Lord and what the consequences are. And in this case, he says, you've become dull of hearing. So follow the argument. Of whom we have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Now look how well this parallels what we're studying in 1 Corinthians 3:2. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. See, that's the same thing that was said over there. He said, I had to teach you with milk and not solid food. Why? For everyone who pertains only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. See, it parallels exactly what we're studying. Now look at this. Solid food belongs to those who are full age. That means mature believers. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. See, reason of use means the mature person that receives the solid food is the person that applies the Word of God to their life. And in applying the Word of God to their life, they're able to discern good and evil. In other words, they're able to make spiritual decisions in life, is what he's saying. Okay? Go back to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For up until now, you're not able to receive it. Even now, you're not able. See, Paul taught at that church for 18 months. And after teaching them for 18 months, he was gone for 3.5 years, and he wrote this letter. So it's been 5 years since these people came to faith in Christ, since these people believed. And he said, by now you should have been spiritual. You should have been mature. You should have been walking with the Lord. But he says, you're just like a baby. You're just like a baby. You are still immature in your walk with the Lord. Now, how does he know they're immature? Verse 3. Verse 3 tells you how he knows. He says, for you are still fleshly. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, fleshly, and behaving like mere men? See, one of the telltale signs of someone that is spiritually immature is they create envy, strife, and divisions. Envy, strife, and divisions. Now, the envy, strife, and divisions that they create are over trivial things. You understand that there should be a division if some of the cardinal truths of the faith are violated, right? You understand that. You don't just hang in there. For example, if someone denies the virgin birth of Christ, they deny the blood atonement, they deny the inerrancy of the Scriptures, they deny the deity of Christ, they deny the resurrection of Christ. Those are cardinal truths of the faith. You don't have any option but to leave on something like that. What he's talking about when he talks about divisions, he's talking about divisions built on envy and strife, meaning the little minute unnecessary things that pop up. Look at it. You are still fleshly, for where there's envy, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? In other words, you're acting just like people that don't know the Lord. Envy, strife, and divisions relates to behaving like mere men. In other words, You're acting like people that have never met the Lord before. Because what matters to you is trivial nonsense that ought to be left alone and put out of your life. But yet you've taken it and put it front and center. You've made it the main focus of your life. And look how he concludes. For one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? He said, it's trivial things like that. You like this person better than this person. It's all the trivial, minor little things. And folks, this is one of the biggest issues that many churches face today. You understand? If you've ever been around church long enough, you will learn something from church. There's a reason some churches are small. And the reason they're small is because they're full of mean people. The meanest, I'm not joking, the meanest people you will ever meet are religious people. Okay, I'm telling you, personal experience. Having been saved 30 years and been in church, the meanest, rudest people I've ever met are people in churches. Seriously. It's honest to goodness truth. And it's one of the biggest deterrents to church growth that there is. When you get carnal people acting like mere men in church, people think, well, what the heck, man? Why do I want to go there? I can get that out in the world. I had an old guy that used to work for me, and one of my livestock operations, I'd talk to him. He'd talk about the Lord. He'd talk about all kinds of stuff. I said, man, where do you go to church? He said, I don't go to no church. He said, I just do church at my house. I said, why is that? And he gives me a long story. I've shared the story in here before. But he was in a church when he was a young man, and there was a fist fight broke out in the church. He said, man, they were in headlocks. I mean, just driving it home, he said, right there in the church, man. He said, guys jumping up and getting on the other side. He said, like a free-for-all. He said, I was terrified as a young teenager. Something like that happened in church. He said, I left and I hadn't gone back. And I said, well, you need to get over that. I said, you are not, just because a bunch of idiots were in one of your churches you attended, I said, that doesn't mean you just dump it out completely. He said, yeah, but man, he said, you know, I come find out a lot of churches are just like that. I don't want to be around that no more. I understand that to a certain extent. I got talking to him. I said, you know, come think of it, some of the meanest people I ever met are in churches. They're mean as snakes, man. I mean, if you don't think a religious person is not mean, stop and think who crucified Christ. The most religious people in the Bible did. They push the agenda. That's how it goes. Why? Because religious people live on a horizontal plane. They don't live with a vertical view to life. It's all about getting their way and having their way. That's what Paul's talking about. You're quarreling and fighting because you want your way. You know why? Because you're running this church like it's man's church and not God's church. See, God's church focuses on God and what glorifies God. Man's church focuses upon man and what's pleasing to man. There's a big difference between the two, a vast difference. The idea behind church is you're to be a part of the church to learn the Word of God so that you can serve God in ministry somewhere. And when you're involved in someone's life and dealing with the issues of their life, you'll find out that the issues in your life tend to be smaller and smaller and smaller. Service in the Christian faith goes a long way to helping you grow in the Lord because you pour yourself into other people. Now, whether you're doing that at your work, whether you're doing it at home with your children, whether you're doing it with your neighbors, or whether you have a specific ministry that you're doing, you need to be pouring the truth into somebody else. You need to be helping bring somebody else up. What was this church concerned with? It's all about them. It's all about them. It's not about God. It's all about them. And when the focus is upon self, problems follow. Both my daughters were here this morning. Their kids were in the nursery. And both those kids are young, and they still drink a bottle. And they come over the house. They bring their milk with them and give it my wife, and she'll feed those babies. My wife thinks that's so cute, that little baby drinking on a bottle. She goes, isn't this thing just precious, Ea? And I said, yes, the baby's precious. It sure is. I've seen calves and piglets suck on bottles, and no different to me. It's just an infant drinking something. But she said, oh, that's so precious. But how precious would that be if they were 16 years old dragging a bottle around? You'd say, wow, that kid's weird. Look at that, man. That's weird. Can you imagine that? Imagine going in the youth room, a bunch of kids in their diapers sucking on baby bottle. You'd think there's something wrong with those kids. There's something wrong with them. Well, folks, in a spiritual arena, there are people that are teenagers and adults in Christ that are still in diapers and sucking on a bottle. They're still spiritually immature. They're still spiritual babies. And there's something wrong with them. That's what Paul's talking about. There are a lot of principles you can draw from this passage of Scripture. One of them is this. Believers are delivered from the horizontal view of life and commanded to have the vertical view of life. See, we're to look to the Lord about everything. It's not about us. It's about the Lord. And it's, I've got to love the Lord my God with all the heart, mind, and soul, and love my neighbor as self. Why? Because I'm living to please him, not to please man. You've got to change from living on a horizontal plane to living on a vertical plane. Quarrels, jealousy, and strife highlight man, not God. See, they glorify man and the sin of man. Choosing to live a low-level life robs you of peace, joy, and the blessings of God. And that's the bottom line. That's what Paul's saying here. You people in Corinth need to have a vertical view in life, not a horizontal view. Don't worry about you. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about the things of God. It's about the glory of God. It's about bringing him honor, not yourself. See, the thing you learn is there's a lot of things you can let go that don't really matter. You don't need to be fighting over. The only things you ever fight over in a church or separate over is the cardinal truths of the faith. The trivial nonsense, you let it go. But what are they doing? They're making the trivial nonsense the focal point of the church. When man's issues become the focal point, God's issues take the back seat. So it's God's church, not man's church. And instead of exercising godly wisdom to discern what's going on, what are they doing? They're operating on this low level of just horizontal living. Dead, empty life. No change, no difference, nothing new. Just the same old grind. God calls us to live with a vertical view, and that's what I encourage you to do. Live your life with a vertical view. Please God by loving God and loving your fellow man and operating in obedience. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word and that your word is true. And we can build our life on your word, and we can raise our families upon your word. And we can enjoy life the way you intended it to be enjoyed because we follow your word. Father, help us to do that. Help us to live this next year on a higher plane in the sense that, Lord, we look for the needs of others over ourselves. And we thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.